Carnival Ride by Denise Howard Long. Tommy's hand had just slid under the hem of my skirt when the Ferris wheel shuddered to a halt. The screech of metal pierced my brain, and I resisted the urge to slap Tommy's hand away. We were at the very top, and I looked down across the entire town square. Across the midway, I could hear kids screaming as the salt and pepper shakers flung them. I imagined how blurry everything would look as the little cages shook them up and down. The other direction, I could see the yellow and white striped beer tent, the bass of a local band thumping from inside. Just past the square, I could see the middle school where I'd start 8th grade in just 2 weeks. And if I leaned way forward, I'd see down onto the ground where Billy and Ricky were waiting for their turn to ride. I thought of the carny who'd pulled down the metal bar to our laps, how he'd eyed Tommy and smirked at me, the words, like mother, like daughter, sitting just behind his teeth. At first I thought the stop was because they were offloading other people, which would be strange because we'd been the last ones on. But a ride cut short didn't seem to be stopping Tommy's stride. His fingers had already found their way to the seam of my underpants, and his breath quickened against my neck. I wondered if he thought about kissing me, if he wanted to or not. "Wonder if someone puked," he whispered after some time had passed and the wheel still hadn't moved. His face burrowed into my shoulder as his fingers pushed and stroked, like he was searching for something to pull out of me. Nobody throws up on the Ferris wheel. I thought about last year at Frontier Days, when they'd had to shut the wheel down. A little girl had fallen from the top. The carnival had continued, but barricades and tape had marked the spot where she'd landed until days later when the rides and tents left town. She'd been tucked in next to her dad, her little sister on his other side, but the safety bar had popped loose. People said the seat had suddenly lurched forward, and the man had grabbed for one of them just as the other fell. The morning after it happened, my mother told me the story in vivid detail. The father's screams, the impossible angle of the little girl's neck, though I knew she'd not actually seen it. Her voice was like gravel as she tapped cigarette ashes into the sink, and I waited for breakfast. But where was that girl's mama is what I'd like to know. Mothers don't let things like that happen. And I'd swallowed my juice as I watched her slide a knife through her beer tent wristband from the night before, letting the green neon plastic join the ashes in the sink before she went back to smearing butter on blackened toast. I hadn't thought about the girl's mother, though, or even the baby who'd lost her sister. Instead, I thought about the girl's dad and wondered if he hated himself, if he would wake up every morning for the rest of his life wondering if he'd saved the wrong one, if he'd replay that moment, picturing how he could have done something different and what that might have meant, if maybe some morning he'd just leave it all and not look back, knowing that sometimes your choices just aren't your own. When the Ferris wheel finally shook free and we started to move again, I thought about pushing the bar up from our laps. For just a second, I thought of how it would feel to dive toward the ground and never feel the landing. Instead, I let my legs fall open for Tommy, waited for my stomach to drop, and pretended I was anywhere but where I was.